7. It's time for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 977 is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, and Ideal Portable Buildings. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Now, here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
We're back. Better than ever, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, riding solo tonight. Beck Haynes has the night off. He's got a sick kid. We'll give him a pass. John Tabor joins me live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios here in Ruston, Louisiana. Running the board. Big show plan for tonight. You know, we come in here every week and we talk about, you know, we have so many different things to get into, and this week is no different. When you look at Louisiana Tech athletics, you know, it's a little bit of a lull. Here we are between football season, waiting for Louisiana Tech's bowl game against Hawaii coming up on December 22nd. Basketball season seems to be inching closer and closer to Conference USA play. Duncan Dogs 7-3 overall, picked up two big wins over this past week. Last time we were on the air, they were hosting Prairie View. That was a game that really got tight in the second half before Tech was ultimately able to prevail in that one. And then Tech goes on the road, defeats Stephen F. Austin, the Lumberjacks. The Lumberjacks who came into the Thomas Assembly Center a season ago and defeated Tech at the buzzer. Tech goes on the road in Nacogdoches, beats SFA 96-93. Only Stephen F. Austin's fifth home loss in its last 96 games. Quite an accomplishment by Coach Eric Conkle and his staff. Daquan Bracey led the Bulldogs in both wins last week, averaged 21 points a game, 5 assists a night, on his way to being named Louisiana Sports Writer Player of the Week. It really seems as though Bracey is coming into his own. You know, he had that early season ankle injury in the season opening win at Wichita State. He's rebounded with Xavier Christian being announced out with a medical injury prior to the Houston Baptist game. Bracey stepped back into the starting lineup, and Tech has not missed a beat, winning their last three games. You know, we'll touch on more of the Duncan Dogs, how they're playing a little bit later in the show at 6:45. Talk a little bit about the Lady Texters as well. They're 5-3 overall. They actually haven't played in a week, but they will host Southeastern Louisiana, I think, for the first time in 20 years tomorrow night inside the Thomas Assembly Center. So, Duncan Dog, Lady Texter basketball going extremely well. You know, before we jump into really anything else, let's go ahead and thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin, and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas. You can also, or we'd also like to thank our title sponsor, First National Bank. As always, you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. If you'd like to watch us, go to the Sports Talk 97.7 Facebook page. John Tabor's got us set up. We're rolling live on the Sports Talk 97.7 Facebook page. So before we really get into, you know, we're not going to get a whole lot into this Louisiana Tech and Hawaii matchup tonight. Tonight's going to be more of a focus on, you know, the recruiting landscape, you know, where Louisiana Tech stands. The Bulldogs held another gigantic recruiting weekend when they hosted 8 recruits. Had a Power 5 commitment in, Utah commit, also hosted perhaps one of the best defensive players in the state. You know, the main focus in this recruiting class, as we've mentioned, you know, time and time again when we've briefly touched on recruiting, is replenishing the offensive and defensive line. You got 5 offensive linemen headed out the door due to graduation. You got 6 on the defensive side of the football. I know right now, I think Tech's up to three commitments on the offensive line. I think they got three or four on the defensive line. Tech actually picked up their 13th commitment of the year on Sunday morning when junior college offensive lineman Anton Lewis pledged his commitment to the Bulldogs. He actually, we broke the news on Bleed Tech Blue Sunday. He went public with that. Lewis was a fairly highly rated recruit out of high school, held offers from North Carolina, South Florida, Middle Tennessee, amongst others. Goes to junior college, redshirts his freshman year before transferring to yet another junior college and playing as a redshirt freshman this year. So he's flown a little bit under the radar, but he'll give Tech he'll have 3 years to play three. He doesn't have a redshirt year available, but certainly adds some depth to the Louisiana Tech offensive line. So nice pickup for Tech. I also believe they're nearing their 14th commitment. Like I mentioned, you can join us, bleedtechblue.com, only $9.95 a month for all the latest on that. And as it stands right now, according to rivals.com, Tech has the number 76th-ranked recruiting class in the country, the second-ranked recruiting class in Conference USA. So, you know, while things might not be as flashy when you look at, you know, recruiting on the offensive and defensive lines, you know, skill players seem to get all the headlines. Coach Holtz and his staff are putting together a really good class ahead of the signing day that's really creeping up on us. 8 days from today, the early signing period opens up on December the 19th. That's why we have Jarrett Roser joining us tonight. He'll join us at 7 p.m. I know Jarrett covers really high school football all over the state of Louisiana, really seems to pinpoint things in the southern part of the state, does a little bit of work for TigerDetails.com, which is the LSU rival site. We've really developed a good relationship with those guys down there. So we'll have Jarrett on at 7, and he'll give us the prospects of Tech's commits from the southern part of the state when you look at cornerback Christian Archangel from Como High School in Lafayette, Jacob Barnes, kicker, punter, Woodlawn, Baton Rouge is where he played his high school football. He's the younger brother of former Louisiana Tech kicker Jonathan Barnes, Deshaun Hall, big defensive end. Hall actually picked up a third star on Rivals. His recruiting recruiting process has really picked up in the last week. He's added a Wisconsin offer, added a TCU offer as well. So it'll be interesting to see if Tech can hold on to him down the final stretch of the 2019 recruiting cycle. Kyle Maxwell, receiver, Amite High School. Taves, if we know anything about Amite High School, there's no shortage of prospects
on
that team.
Did you see them any of this playoff run?
Phenomenal.
Oh, man.
They're pretty good. When you talk about Devontae Lee,
their receiving core was just
and Maxwell's at the middle of a big 6'3" kid, 200
pounds.
That's
probably the one that caught one that just was going up and snatching everything.
Yeah, he can really just go up and get the football. I think their quarterback's committed to Kentucky. I know they have a 5-star defensive tackle. He's like number 3 recruit in the country.
Shockshire.
Yeah, Sopshire. He's really good. He got Devontae Lee as well. I believe he's uncommitted at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if LSU lands him. So Kyle Maxwell, receiver from Amite High School, one of the better recruits in this class. We've mentioned him before, holds numerous Power 5 offers, and then the final recruit from down in South Louisiana from West Feliciana High School, Kyrie Morrison. Morrison's expected to play safety for the Bulldogs. He's another one of those guys like Smoke Harris, like a Derek Turner that signed from West Feliciana a season ago that, you know, they got some Power 5 guys on them, so Tech's going to have to close out this class or close on some of these guys pretty strong if they end up wanting to get their signatures come next week. I actually have a story up on the site, bleedtechblue.com. Caught up with Morrison last week. You can go to the website, read that. It's a free article. Got some pretty good quotes from him. He's extremely excited to play with his former high school teammates, Smoke Harris and Derek Turner. And that leads me into another West Feliciana product when you talk about Jalen Ferguson. Last week when we came on, All-Conference USA, All-Conference selections had just been announced. You know, Jalen Ferguson, Amik Robertson were named first-team All-Conference. I know Miss O'Shea Dugas was named first-team as well. Well, the honors have continued to roll in for Ferguson throughout the week. He was later named the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year. He was named a second-team All-American by Walter Camp, second-team All-American by the Football Writers Association, second-team All-American by the Sporting News. He was also named, I believe it was yesterday, a third-team All-American by the Associated Press. So certainly a lot of great honors when you talk about, you know, on an individual basis for Jalen Ferguson. And we've talked about Mel Kiper has him as number 17 on his big board. So Ferguson, I believe he's collecting all the honors that he certainly deserves, especially when you look at his collegiate career. You know, he has 182 total tackles, 65 tackles for loss, which ranks fourth in NCAA history since 2005, 42.5 sacks in his career, just 1.5 sacks from tying Terrell Suggs' all-time record, which, you know, if there's one thing that, you know, outside of Tech obviously winning the game against Hawaii, I want to see Ferguson get that sack record that I believe he so much deserves. You look at some of the individual performances that he had this year. You know, you go back to North Texas early in the year when he has four sacks of Mason Fine, who, you know, you could argue him or Brent Stocks still is the best quarterback in the conference, but he almost single-handedly won that game for Tech. Then he has 3.5 sacks later in the season against UTEP. Just a phenomenal career for a good kid, a kid that has truly given it all to his university, first kid person in his family to graduate. I know his brother, Jazz, originally signed with LSU out of high school, ends up transferring to Northwestern State, becomes the Southland Conference Offensive Player of the Year, and he has entered the NFL draft as well. So congrats to the whole Ferguson family for a phenomenal 2018 season. And, you know, when you look at this matchup between Tech and Hawaii, we'll really get into breaking things down next week. I hope to have on Hawaii beat writer Stephen Tsai next week. Reached out to Stephen earlier today. He was just unable to make it work with the big time differential when you talk about, you know, a four-hour time difference between, you know, us here in the central time zone and those guys out there in Hawaii. So hopefully Stephen will be on next week. I definitely expect to have a Behind Enemy Lines article out as well once we get into game week next Thursday. So that's where we stand this week on Louisiana Tech and Hawaii for the Hawaii Bowl. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to get into the G5 landscape in college football. I went, and, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you talk about the premier G5 programs in the country in today's college football, I think, you know, a few names that come to mind: Boise State, Central Florida, you know, Cincinnati has a good program, Houston has a good program. I think you'll be surprised with, you know, how good San Diego State is. You know, quite a few really good G5 programs. We'll take a look at how Louisiana Tech compares to those programs over the past 5 years, in which Tech seems to have turned a corner in their program and really started winning, you know, 7-9 games on a regular basis. We'll talk about how important it is for Louisiana Tech to get over that hump and win that elusive conference championship. And then we'll touch briefly on the job that Tommy McClellan has done from an athletic director standpoint, from a scheduling aspect. I think you'll be surprised. I know Tommy sometimes catches some flack, but it looks as though Tech's scheduling has really turned a corner. You know, I know the 5 home games this year wasn't that appealing, but going forward, things look a lot brighter. So 6:30, you know, we might talk a little bit more about the G5 landscape in college football. We'll grade the Conference USA coaches, you know, the job that they've done. We might look at some of the winningest programs in the state of Louisiana since 2014. Obviously, LSU is kind of the bell cow in the state, but we'll see how Tech matches up against the other schools when you look at Tulane. You look at ULM over in Monroe, and then you look at the Cajuns in Lafayette and see how, you know, all 5 programs are faring, and then, you know, what the future looks like. I think, Tapes, tell me if you agree with this. When you look at the landscape of college football in the FBS division, I would have to say at this point it's probably brighter than it's been in quite a while.
I think you're getting more parity.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you look at what Napier's done at ULL,
Viator's doing a good job. Willie Fritz at Tulane. Obviously, Skip Holtz and Ed Orgeron are doing a good job. And like you said, there's more parity, and it seems that, you know, all five programs are playing some good football.
Well, you had what? I guess all of them were bowl eligible.
All five. Yeah.
So that's... You want to get everybody in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And it's good for the state. It's good for football. But, I mean, you think about it. Five Division I colleges in a state that only has, what, about 4 million people.
Yeah, it's probably not big enough to really hold five Division
I. It's not probably. It's not. That's another discussion.
Yeah, that's right.
Day. But to have that much concentrated talent, and I'm sure a lot of it, especially on the FCS, or not the FCS, but the
FBS
group of five, is probably local guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If not local, at least regional.
Absolutely. So we'll look at that coming up at 6:30, and then just looking at some former Bulldogs in the NFL. I think the biggest news of the week was actually revealed yesterday. I saw a report by Ian Rappaport. Boston Scott, former Louisiana Tech running back, fan favorite. Boston ran for over 1,000 yards in 2017. Was signed to the active roster by the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, it's a little bit of a gut punch that he doesn't get his chance with the Saints, who drafted him, the home state team. But nonetheless, a great opportunity for him to play in the final three games, get some good film out on himself, and potentially make a 53-man roster next year. Vontarius Dora, former Bulldog defensive end, was also signed to the active roster by the Arizona Cardinals prior to this week. I know he didn't accumulate any stats in their win against the line, but good to see for Vontarius. Trent Taylor, one catch for 6 yards in the 49ers win against Denver. Jeff Driscoll made his second career start for the Bengals against the Chargers, finishes 18 of 27 for 170 yards and one touchdown in a Bengals loss. I believe Jeff scored the touchdown. They were a two-point conversion short. I know the Bengals ended up kicking a field goal in the final seconds to make it 26-21, but Jeff's playing some good football. Kenneth Dixon in his second game back after being activated from IR. 8 carries, 59 yards, had one catch for 21 yards. Ash also had a touchdown in the Ravens' loss to the Chiefs. I know John Harbaugh said that Dixon he's playing his way into more and more snaps, so that's certainly good to see with Kenneth, who has been rattled by injuries throughout his career. Kentrell Bryce had 4 tackles in Green Bay's win over the Falcons. And then Jellybean Ellis, fan favorite from Neville High School in Monroe, he was activated by the Raiders a couple of weeks ago, played a key role in the Raiders' win against the Steelers on Sunday afternoon when the Steelers were limited to only 40 yards rushing. So that's what we got coming up. Next segment, we're going to take a look into the G5 landscape of college football. We appreciate you listening. You can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline. You can text us on the text line, 888-993-7762. We'll be right back after this.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com. Get more fun out of everything you do with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. For years, Fairway Carts has been this area's choice for EasyGo gas or electric golf carts, multi-passenger carts, rugged utility carts for work, and EasyGos for hunting, too. With a full line of accessories and expert service department, Fairway Carts delivers it all. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, live in the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. John Tabor running the board. Louisiana Tech wrapped up their 2018 campaign, 7-5 overall. A little bit of a disappointing finish when you talk about the last two losses to Southern Miss and Western Kentucky. Obviously, two games that Tech should have won. Actually, have a text on the text line from Quint. Any chance that Tech makes a change at quarterback for the bowl game? And that's a good question. It's not the first time I've been asked that question, Quint. But if I were guessing, and this is no inside knowledge or anything like that, but I would say that Jamar will get the start December 22nd in Hawaii. You know, there's obviously a chance that Weston Elliott gets a chance to play, but I think Jamar's the guy for Tech as they look to win their eighth game for the fourth time in 5 years. So, like I mentioned before the break, wanted to jump a little bit into, you know, the landscape of the G5. There's so many times where, you know, including myself, and I'm sure I'm speaking for Tabor as well, it can become increasingly frustrating when, you know, we're huge fans of Louisiana Tech first and foremost. And I'm a Tech fan first and foremost before I am a publisher of Bleed Tech Blue. Let me make that clear. There's nothing more that I want than Louisiana Tech to win in every sport, you know, regardless of the sport, anytime they put a uniform on. And so we talk about all the time, you know, the Boise States of the world, the Central Floridas, you know, in this current two-year run that they're on. We talk about Marshall. They've played well for many, many years under Doc Holliday. You look at Toledo out of the MAC. San Diego State out of the Mountain West is a very good program as well. Memphis is certainly one of the better G5 programs under Mike Norvell, who ended up turning down the Kansas State job. And so there's a tremendous amount of good programs across the country that are playing, I'm saying this in quotes, that are playing at Tech's level. And I think that's important to keep in perspective when you talk about this and what I'm about to talk about. Now, we know that Tech has won a bunch of games since 2014, but they haven't won that elusive conference championship that we all desire for them to win. So I wanted to go and look at the rest of the top teams, so to speak, in other G5 conferences and see what their win-loss record was and how many conference championships they have won. And I get the age-old argument, and I certainly agree with it, that, you know, Conference USA is not as good as the AAC, or Conference USA is not as good as the Mountain West. There's plenty of variables that can't be compared when you look at these totals. But here's what I found, then I'll ask a few questions for you all to ponder at the end. You can text us, you can call us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. And I'll also mention the number of conference championships that each school has won within their conference over this time frame from 2014. So when you look at the AAC, Houston has the best win-loss record since 2014, going 45-19. They've also got one conference championship. Memphis, 45-20 with one conference championship. South Florida, 40-22. They have yet to win a conference championship. UCF, 40-23. You have to remember they had an 0-12 season mixed in there in the past 5 years, but I don't think anybody would sit here and argue with you and say that they're not the top G5 program as we are speaking right now. They have three conference championships, two of those come in the last 2 years. I believe one of those was split as well. Temple, 41-24, one conference championship. Navy, 38-27, zero conference championships. And Cincinnati, 34-28. You know, you look at that Navy program, you know, Tech defeats Navy in the Armed Forces Bowl back in 2016. That's a program that finished 3-9 this year. So that's a little bit of my point, is how many of these teams were consistent winners year in and year out? So shifting to Conference USA, UAB, best win percentage in Conference USA. Granted, they've played two less seasons, but 24-12. Their one conference championship coming this year. Marshall, 42-22. They got one conference championship coming back in 2014 when they defeated Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech is 41-25. They don't have the conference championship like we mentioned. Western Kentucky, 40-25 with two conference championships. I would say Western was – would you say, Tabor, that Western was probably the premier program in Conference USA prior to the 2 years under Mike Sanford?
Yeah, at that time, yes.
You know, when you look at what Brandon Doty did, followed up by Mike White, they were clicking on all cylinders before Mike Sanford got in there. Then you look at Middle Tennessee under Rick Stockstill, they finished 35-28, and then North Texas is 28-35. And I really just wanted to include North Texas because Seth Luttrell is doing such a good job, and it appears their program is trending in the right direction. It'll be interesting, you know, if you look at these numbers from, say, 2016 to 2020 in a few years. And I'm sure we'll continue to do this to see, you know, if each program, especially within the conference, has truly built a program and just aren't a one-hit wonder, so to speak. And I didn't really want to include Florida Atlantic because, you know, they go 11-3 a year ago, and Lane Kiffin was the darling of college football. We heard him on Colin Cowherd's show every 2 months, really trying to get his program, you know, some publicity, which helped him land, you know, some really good transfers. You talk about DeAndre Johnson from Florida State. You talk about Chris Robinson from Oklahoma, but they took a step back this year, finished 5-7 overall. Shifting to the MAC, I know the MAC catches a lot of flack at times for how good they are, or, you know, for not playing the best quality of football up north. But when you look at Toledo, 46-18, one conference championship. Western Michigan, 42-22 with one conference championship. I believe that came in their 13-1 season under P.J. Fleck. Ohio, 39-25. The ageless wonder, Frank Solich. I'm not sure if he'll ever be done in college football. He just seems to keep winning year in and year out. Excuse me. And then you look at Northern Illinois, 40-26 with two MAC championships, including winning this year's MAC championship over Buffalo. We have a text from Matthew on the hotline. Central Florida has won the last two AAC conference championships. I might have misspoke on that, Matthew. I appreciate it. Yeah, Central Florida has won the last two AAC championships. They've won three in total since 2014. I believe one of those was split. Looking at the Mountain West, I think this is where you find the best G5 program of the last 5 years, and I don't think it comes as any surprise when you look at Boise State, 52-15 with two conference championships. You have San Diego State, 46-20. With two conference championships. You have Air Force, 38-26. You have Utah State, 35-29. It'll be interesting to see how Utah State fares now that Matt Wells is gone. They had a really good 2018 campaign, finishing 10-2. They will play in the New Mexico Bowl against Seth Luttrell's Mean Green in North Texas. I believe that game's coming up this weekend. And then the final school I included was Fresno State. I know, you know, especially speaking for me and, you know, probably plenty of Tech fans, looking at some of these old WAC foes and how they've compared to Tech over the previous years is pretty intriguing. So Fresno State in the last 5 years, 31-34, and they had the conference championship win in 2018. So also got to include the Sun Belt. One more conference, the Sun Belt, Appalachian State. I know they lost Coach Satterfield to Louisville last week, but man, what a program he's built up there. 47-16, three conference championships. I believe they've won maybe three out of the last four in the Sun Belt, maybe the last three, really since they transitioned from FCS to FBS. You could argue that they're right up there with Boise State. I got the opportunity to watch them in the Sun Belt Conference Championship against ULL, and man, they have a really good program. Arkansas State, 39-20 with two conference championships. Troy, 37-25 with one conference championship. Georgia Southern, 34-27 with one conference championship as well. So that's a quick rundown of, you know, the G5 conferences. When you look at the five G5 conferences, comparing them to the, you know, obviously we're not comparing to the five Power Five conferences. So when you look at the teams that have multiple conference championships, you have Appalachian State and Central Florida with three. You have Arkansas State and Boise State, Northern Illinois, San Diego State, and Western Kentucky with two. So in total, you have seven teams that have won multiple conference championships. You have 18 out of these 26 teams that I've mentioned that have won at least a share of the conference championship, which, you know, one of those eight teams that has not is Louisiana Tech, which is obviously pretty disappointing, and it's a hump that Tech must get over if they really want to take that next step and not only, I'm not going to say win back over their fan base, but establish themselves as one of the top G5 programs year in and year out. I think a conference championship would go a long way. And when you look at the eight teams that have not won a conference championship, Tech has the second highest win percentage behind South Florida. So how much does that matter? And I've said this, and I'll say it again, and you can call us, you can text us on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762. But it's way more important to those that are an alum or a student and a current player as far as winning a conference championship than it may be to a player that's being recruited. Now, that's not to say that Tech doesn't need to win a conference championship. They do. Like that's what this program needs if it wants to take that next step forward. So Tech has to figure out a way to get over the hump and get that next conference championship if they're going to propel themselves into one of the upper-tier G5 programs. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back after the break, I'm going to take a look at a few more angles when it comes to how Tech ranks up against his peers. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Teal and staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. As we were talking in the previous segment, taking a look across G5 Conference, how Louisiana Tech stacks up against its peers. And we mentioned the teams that have won multiple conference championships. When you look at Appalachian State and Central Florida winning three each, Arkansas State, Boise State, Northern Illinois, San Diego State, and Western Kentucky each winning two. So if you look at it purely from a win standpoint, who has won the most games in the G5 since 2014? You look at Boise State with 52 wins, Appalachian State 47 wins, San Diego State 46 wins. Tabes, is Rocky Long still the coach at San Diego State? I believe he retired.
I have no idea.
I'll have to check that out. Toledo, 46 wins. Matt Campbell obviously started them, you know, in their trend upward in success, and he's done such a nice job at Iowa State in his brief tenure there. Houston, 45 wins. Major Applewhite's the head coach at Houston. Memphis with Mike Norvell. Marshall, 42 wins. Louisiana Tech with 41 wins. And Temple with 41 wins as well. So when you look at it from a pure win standpoint, you have to be pretty pleased. And sometimes you have to take a step back for a second and say, hey, I'm going to look at this from a pure win standpoint. And Tech has the eighth most wins in the G5 since 2014.
Got Bill on the line here.
Bill, thanks for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue. How you doing tonight?
Like your show. I joined Bleed Tech Blue last week. I really am enjoying everything on it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, question. What happened to the running back that was at Tennessee and left from West Monroe that we recruited?
Trey Coleman. Trey Coleman. Yeah. He transferred from Tennessee, and I believe he's enrolled in a junior college right now taking some classes.
I wondered. I didn't know if we was going to try to get him back, or I hadn't read anything. So
yeah, I think there's a chance, but right now I don't think Tech has an opening for a running back, but you never know how things will go. Obviously, players could transfer out after the bowl game, so I think it's kind of a wait-and-see process with him. I know he has to graduate from junior college before he's eligible to go anywhere else.
I got you. I've been reading about the quarterback from Texas, from Highlands, and I'm reading you right, that we don't have room for a quarterback. Is that correct?
No, we have room. We're looking at taking Jackson Thompson from Highland
Park.
That's him. Yeah.
That's what I've been reading about.
Yes, Jackson Thompson is the recruit that Tech is targeting, and he took a visit to Tech 2 weeks ago. He was on campus at Tulane this past weekend, and he should be nearing his decision here pretty soon.
So we're in the mix on him.
Yeah, it'll be between Tech and Tulane.
10-4. Hey, appreciate your show. Good job.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling us.
Oh, you bet, though.
Yeah, you can call us just like Bill, Fairway Carts Hotline, 888-993-7762. Like Bill mentioned, you know, we have it all at Bleed Tech Blue. Jackson Thompson, three-star recruit out of Highland Park in the Dallas area. Visited Tech a couple of weeks ago on Tulane this past weekend. Actually have attempted to get in contact with Jackson earlier today, was unable to do so, but hopefully we'll get an update on where things stand with him in the very near future. But like I was saying, when you look at Tech having the eighth most wins amongst G5 programs since 2014, you certainly have to be pretty pleased with that. So as upsetting or disappointing or whatever word you want to use that Tech hasn't won a conference championship, the winning games aspect that Tech has accomplished in recent years has certainly been a bright spot. And then, you know, for me, I took a look and I tried to pull my top five G5 programs in 2018 as we stand right now. I went with Central Florida number one. I think Fresno State's the number two G5 team in the country this year, with them having defeated Boise State, who I have at number three in the Mountain West Championship. Then I have Cincinnati and Appalachian State. So that's kind of where I think things stand right now. If you want to stretch it back to 2014, is Tech a top 10 G5 program? I had them teetering right there at number 10. There certainly could be some debate for them not to be number 10 when you look at some programs like Toledo, or, you know, there's certainly some other programs that you could talk about, Arkansas State as well. But I don't know. I seem to value wins a little bit more than that conference championship when you consider those teams have had losing seasons mixed in. So it's just basically how you want to look at it. But I think it's pretty clear UCF is the top dog. You know, Houston was really good under Tom Herman. He's now at Texas. They've taken a small step back under Major Applewhite. Looks like Doc Holliday's gotten Marshall back on track. Neil Brown has taken Troy to a new level. And it looks like Neil Brown is going to be around for another year at Troy, which is certainly good for them. So I would love to hear your take. You could call us just like Bill, 888-993-7762. And how close is Louisiana Tech to getting back to that conference championship status? You know, what your take on that, Taves? I mean, I don't think Tech is that far away. I think you step up the quarterback play marginally, and I think they're right back in the mix.
That's the 800-pound gorilla.
Yep.
It's not a shot at J-Mar.
Oh, no.
Specifically, it's just production out of that position has to improve.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you have to have better production at quarterback, and if you want to...
You saw the running game looked pretty good early on in the season, then...
Well, then
after where everybody keying, you're looking at eight. If we're just two wideouts, nine in the box with two guys.
Well, and they knew they could make the quarterback beat them, you know.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, it happened far less than it did. So for me, Tech's just some quality QB play that it needs to get back into a conference championship, and I think we'll get there. I'm not into a panic mode by any means. You look at a 7-5 year where most of the fan base is down, but here we are, second-ranked recruiting class in Conference USA.
Who's the power back?
Yeah, and that's what you have to establish. You know, Cam...
That was kind of missing. You know, Cam...
Yeah, well, and he's a senior. You know, you got to find that guy to play that role. You know, Dancy's banged up. Tucker's a smaller back. You have to find
a
guy
that can... I'm not saying Kenneth Dixon has to walk... He's not walking out that locker room. But just somebody that can ease, especially between the tackles, the load on Dancy and Tucker, because as you said, they're not big, bruising power backs, and I feel like something like that could really help complement.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And so I mentioned also that we're going to take a look at the winningest programs from an FBS football bowl subdivision standpoint in the state of Louisiana since 2014. And some of these numbers were really surprising to me. LSU 43-19. Obviously, they're the premier team in the state. Like I mentioned, Tech's 41-25, only two less wins than LSU. And Tapes, when I tell you this, okay, obviously Tech and LSU aren't on the same playing field, but is it fair to say that LSU is playing the same style or same quality of competition compared to the players on their roster that Tech is playing within Conference USA?
I think with LSU in their non-conference schedule, they do.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not even going to try to pretend that the level of competition between the two conferences is the same.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
It's not. But I think if you balance them amongst each team, I feel like Tech's playing pretty evenly to their level, the same as LSU
exactly.
is to their respective level.
Exactly. And then looking at the three other programs since 2014, ULL 31-32 overall, Tulane 21-38, and ULM 20-41. So, and I'm not here to flaunt what Tech has done. I don't think Tech has got over that hump and has established themselves as a premier program across the country. But I do think that Tech is the clear-cut number two team in the state right now, which I think they do deserve some credit for. Now, is there room to improve? Without a doubt. And I think that can be said for any program. And you look at Tech this year, obviously you can improve at the running back or at the quarterback position. Like Tapes mentioned, you could get a more power back, a guy that can get you those 1 or 2 yards when it's 3rd-and-1 late in a game that can put you over the hump and win a game. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, let me ask you this. I think we'll both agree that 10-2 conference championship is attainable.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, is it sustainable?
Well,
I think that's kind of, we got to get there to stay there.
Yeah.
Got to get there first, but.
I think the big thing is once you do get there, you get the fans, and then, you start pouring in more money to the program.
It's easier to see you up on top of the mountain.
Yeah, exactly, versus where you're at right now.
Which is still climbing.
Yeah, and still hoping to get there. Once you get there and you see that it's attainable, like you said, then you can make it sustainable from a financial aspect. And that's the goal. It's not wrong to dream to be the next Boise or Central Florida. But the thing is, and I think, we've talked about this on the Bleed Tech Blue message board, is as hard as it is in today's world, it's so easy to be, quote-unquote, a recreational fan, a fan that, when it's convenient, when it's easy, when games are fun to go to, it's easy to be a big fan. But when things start to go downhill a little bit, you seem to jump off the bus and say,
call it what it is. Are you going to show up when they're not winning games?
Yes, and I think that's the key.
It can be tough.
Yeah, and that's not a shot at a fan. Like, that's reality.
Well, not everybody listening in Tech fandom universe lives within 15 minutes of Ruston like you and I do.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot easier for us to say be at the games. But, like you said, you have to do your best to do your part.
We're in a position where be at the game means planning for your afternoon or your evening or an early morning. A lot of other people, it means planning for your entire day or even your weekend.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So, you know, I think the biggest thing, if Tech wants to take that next step as a university, it's not only the coaching staff, it's not only the players, it's not only the recruits, it's not only the administration with Tommy McClellan. The fans can play an integral role as well in showing up to the game, supporting these guys, you know, giving financially. And, you know, finances, which is sometimes a sour subject, sometimes a subject that you don't want to have your toes stepped on, but the reality of it is, and I know a lot of times that, you know, when we read about, you know, the Tech basketball schedule per se, and you say, well, golly, they got six SWAC schools in the non-conference portion of the schedule. Well, I can guarantee you, because I have firsthand knowledge, that there were plenty of quality programs that were willing to come to Ruston, but the finances weren't there because Tech wasn't able to give them the money to make the trip. And at the end of the day, is SMU a money game if they come to Ruston to play Tech in basketball? It's not, but that's part of the tricks of the trade. You know, they'll give you the money back the following year. And so, you know, it's a quote-unquote money game, which is essentially home and home.
So I think that's a great level to try to get in there.
No, I'm with you.
It's somebody that, regional, they'd probably be on board with home and homes.
Yep.
It's a name school in what is probably perceived and probably is a better conference.
Yeah. Oh, AAC's definitely.
But you can beat them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think, you know, you look at, you know, from a football scheduling standpoint, SMU on the schedule in future years. And, you know, I'm not sure what the relationship's like with Tulane, but I think that's a decent matchup when you look at that. You know, Houston, like Tech had a few years back.
Wichita.
Yeah, Wichita and basketball. Those are the regional schools that I think most Tech fans yearn for to see Tech play on a year-in and year-out basis. And, you know, it takes time to get there.
I think that the home-and-home that they scheduled with Stephen F. was solid.
Oh, it really – and that's a Stephen F. program that's really good.
That's probably one of the better group of five schools here, at least in the Gulf South.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. You know, they have a really quality program that, you know, started under Brad Underwood and has been continuing.
The only to your point, though, the only problem is that doesn't have the name value to a casual – you know, Hoops head knows how tough of an enticing matchup that is, but – you're casual that, well, let me bring the wife and the kids.
That's not pulling them out of the house.
Right, that's not – SMU's probably got a little more pull on that.
Yep, no, you're absolutely right, absolutely right. So I just wanted to break down FBS, college football, you know, where Tech stands amongst his peers, you know, not only in the G5 programs but as well across the state of Louisiana. I thought it was pretty interesting, so I figured I would share it. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a look at some Dunkin' Dog Lady Texter basketball. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Game day can be every day with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Whether you want to hit the links in the number one golf cart in the world, spend family time in your Easy Go multi-passenger cart, or work around the home or farm with a new Easy Go utility cart, Fairway Carts can make it happen. So make your weekend last all week long with a new Easy Go from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or visit online at fairwaycarts.net.
DQ fans, your hanger monster just got hanger managed with the DQ Hungry Up Deal. A single, double, or triple burger with cheese plus fries and a mini Blizzard treat starting at just $4. Three deals meant to satisfy any level of hunger. From hungry-ish to hungry to straight up hangry. Meet your new hanger management system today. The Hungry Up Deal, only at your DQ. This is fan food, not fast food.
Thank you.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Ben Carlisle, John Tabor here live, Sports Talk 97.7 Studios. Just to shift gears a little bit, seems like basketball season's heating up. Lady Texters, Dunkin' Dogs, what are we, 2-3 weeks away from Conference USA play kicking off? I know the Lady Texters open their conference slate January 3rd at home against North Texas. I would assume the Dunkin' Dogs start somewhere right around there. When you look at the Lady Texters this year, I mentioned, you know, in the open that they haven't played in over a week, got a real opportunity to rest their bodies after a couple of long road trips. I know they went to Memphis, went to Arkansas State, went to Wichita State, played out in Tempe against Arizona State and Alabama. Actually, in their last time out, they picked up a big win against Alabama to move to 5-3 overall. They'll play tomorrow night inside the Thomas Assembly Center against Southeastern Louisiana, and then they'll play again on Saturday night against Ole Miss. So things really kicking up for the Lady Texters. Looking at a few of their stats, you look at Kiara Anthony. She had the 50-point performance earlier this year in a home win against Houston. She's averaging 21 points per game, 5 rebounds, nearly 3 assists, nearly 2 steals, really doing it all for this Lady Texters team. She's taken over 40 more shots than anyone on the team, so she's really carrying this team offensively. Then you look at Taylor Staley, 13 points per game. The sharpshooter shooting 33% from three. I'm sure she'd like to get that number up as well. Then you look at like Raizel Guinto averaging 10 points per game, shooting 45% from three. So that's a brief look at the Lady Texters. Like I said, 5-3 overall. You know, really looking to get things going this weekend, an opportunity to pick up 2 home wins. The win over, if they're able to beat Ole Miss Saturday night, that would be another program, I'm not going to say defining, but a really big win for Brooke.
Be another SEC victory.
Yeah, exactly. And it'd be a big win for Brooke, you know, as she's really trying to rebuild things as we go forward. So looking at the Dunkin' Dogs, 7-3 overall, like I mentioned, hosting Mississippi Valley State as we speak. Quick score update. Dunkin' Dogs trail the Delta Devils 11-9 with 11:39 remaining in the first half. Xavier Christian's out tonight, as is Derek Jean. Jean's status going forward is up in the air. We'll see if he comes back this season. He's been nursing, you know, if you go back to the offseason, nursing a bit of a shin injury that he's having some issues recovering.
How's Day-Day? I just kind of feel like that's going to be a season-long, almost like a fantasy football. You got to check the injury report.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about Day-Day. In his last 2 games, he's looked really good.
Right.
But like you said, with an ankle, you never really know what you're going to get.
Nagging, yeah.
Yeah, it just seems to nag you, and you don't really know the night that it's going to nag you the most. So, Tech hosting Mississippi Valley State. Like I mentioned, Prairie View last Tuesday night, Tech defeats them 82-68. That was a game that got real tight in the second half. I think you were producing that one, Tapes. Got down to like a 3-point game.
Real tight.
Yeah, and you know, you look at some of these SWAC schools, and you know, they're obviously, when you play them, they're 1-8, 1-9, but they've also played 7 or 8 Power 5 schools, so they're battle tested. Then they come into a place like Tech where it's not a huge environment that overwhelms them. They get to knocking down a couple of threes. I know they had a guy hit 4 or 5 in the second half. Ends up being a game that's a lot closer than you might anticipate. And so going to the following game, on Friday night, Tech went on the road against Stephen F. Austin. Now, this is a Stephen F. Austin that had won 91 of their last 95 games. And like Tape said in the prior segment, this is one of the better, quote-unquote, mid-majors in the country.
I wouldn't call them a good team. I'd call them a good program.
Yeah, no, that's what they got.
Because they've got, what, 5, 6 years now of sustained success, tournament appearances, tournament wins. Hey, man. You just said it. What, 91-4?
Yep.
So now 91-5, and you're one of those 5.
Yep. And they expect to win. You know, Tech
took, I think it was a 12 or 13 point lead in that second half. They didn't go away. You know, you talk about Shannon Bowe.
It was a crazy game because that was a nine point deficit for the Dogs at the half. And then they come out in the second half
on fire.
Well, anyway, it was a little smoke and mirrors, though, because I want to say 56, 57% is what Stephen F. shot in the first half. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, get some stops. You know, they'll cool down a little bit, and you're not out of this game. And it's like Tech just flipped the script. They got red hot. Stephen F. couldn't buy a bucket. Next thing you know, it balloons 12, 13. Like, okay, you know, we can ride this into a solid. And here they come.
Yep. And you look at that game, you know, Shannon Bogues for Stephen F. Austin goes for 33.
Any relation to Muggsy?
I don't know. But the kid
if
could
he's
shoot.
Over six, if he's over six
he's
foot,
over 6 foot,
then I doubt it.
Yeah, he's over 6 foot. He hits nine threes in that one. Devontae Fitzgerald came into the night averaging 9 points a game. He knocks down five threes and scores 32 points. And, you know, you look on the Tech side of things, Bracey leads Tech with 20 points, six assists to only one turnover. Archibald chips in a season-high 18, DeRuji 17, Derek Jean not score 16, Jacoby Pemberton with 15 off the bench, Rashawn Langston with 9 off the bench. And, you know, you and I were talking.
That's balance there, buddy.
Well, and that's the thing. I was looking at some of the statistics earlier today. There's eight players averaging over 8 points a game, but none more than 12.
Well, and, you know, Langston, he's just, what, 1 point off? That would have been, I think, twice this year that Tech would have had six guys in double figures.
Yeah, and so they got the talent on the roster to be a good program. And you and I were talking about before the show, you know, as that game got late, you could tell that this was a team that doesn't quite know how to win yet.
They're figuring it out. Though.
Yeah, they are. You know, you talk about the road win at Wichita. They closed this one out in overtime. And, you know, there were some late missed free throws, but, you know, Gene would answer with a big three when Tech would go down, or, you know, Pemberton would slash to the bucket, and, you know, DeRuji played one of his better games of the year. I know he had really the game-sealing dunk for Tech. You know, Archibald seems to be Mr. Consistent, but for me, it all goes back to Bracey. Mm. If Bracey's healthy, Tech's going to be fine with his ability to get to the rim.
You mentioned depth in the post. What are your thoughts on Mo Muhammad?
I like Mo Muhammad. I think Mo Muhammad is a really active player inside. You know, he's a little undersized, but I don't, you know, we knew that coming into the year. But I think at the same point, right now, Conkle trusts Oliver Powell a lot more inside. And it's just a matter of when Muhammad gets in there, he has to be extremely active on the glass. Be kind of that junkyard dog type.
Just 8 minutes.
Yeah. And give 18, you know, 15 to 18 minutes a night with 6 points and seven rebounds. And I think that would be the perfect role. And, you know, if you look, you know, if Derek Jean is out for the year, and we obviously don't know how long Xavion Christian's out, you know, that makes this roster extremely.
Well, I think if Mo can come on and be that solid second guy in the post, that frees up Ollie to really do what he does best, and that's roam the paint and play defense.
Yep.
He doesn't have to look over his shoulder being foul conscious, you know, all the time.
Yeah, worrying about fouling.
He can go out there and play.
Yeah, and so, you know, if Christian is out, you know, you look at DeRuji inside with Powell and Muhammad. Those are going to be your three guys
inside.
It's not
very big.
No, and DeRuji's really not a post player, if we're being honest. He's a guy that likes to play on the outside, play that wing, you know, cut into the bucket. You know, he likes to shoot the three a little bit too much at times, but he's a really talented player. And so then, but if Gene and Christian are out, you know, your guard play becomes thinner as well. You only have Archibald, Bracey, Pemberton, and Langston.
What are we looking at about a six-man rotation?
Six or seven-man rotation. So things will really thin up, especially, you know, as we get into the grind of conference play. You know, and when you look at Conference USA, you know, this is not going to be an easy league. It seems that it gets better year in and year out with, you know, North Texas off to a 10-1 start, Florida International 7-2, Florida Atlantic 7-2 under former Tech assistant.
How's Dan Tony got on Marshall looking?
Marshall 6-4, but you know they're going to be there. Yeah, you know they're going to be there. John Elmore's one of the better players. You know Old Dominion's going to be there. Southern Miss is playing well early in the year at 6-2, so it'll be interesting to see really how things fare for Tech, especially as they get to the end of non-conference play. Like I mentioned, hosting Mississippi Valley State tonight. They'll go on the road Saturday night for a big road tilt at Lafayette. You know, a little bit of a rivalry game. I know Coach Conkle's looking to get over that hump and get his first win against the Raging Cajuns. But that's enough for basketball talk. When we come back from the break, Jarrett Roser will join us to talk some Bulldog recruiting. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Walpole Tire and Service has been a proud La Tech supporter for over 60 years. So when the Bulldogs hit the field or hardwood, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the staff at Walpole get you safely to and from the game with brake repair, alignments, and computer diagnostics, plus all major brands of tires, including Goodyear, Michelin, and BF Goodrich. Walpole Tire and Service, a name you can trust. Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
When we win, our customers really win. This is Steve Brennan at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. And Brennan Dodge has just been awarded the prestigious J.D. Power Customer First Award for Excellence. As one of only three Chrysler dealers in the state to achieve this, we are proud of our employees for their tireless efforts to put our customers first in everything we do. So thank you to Rusty Wilfong, Randy Funes, Ricky Meyer, Christina Rowley, Tommy Tomlin, and Todd Thielen staff. We make sure each Brennan Dodge customer's experience is of the highest caliber. Come in and see firsthand why customers are first at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke-cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town or at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. National Signing Day, 8 days away, December 19th. Here to talk with us about Louisiana Tech's 2019 signing class, Jarrett Roser. How you doing tonight, Jarrett?
Hey, man. I'm doing well. How are y'all doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing really well. Thanks for joining us tonight. And, when you look at the recruiting landscape across the state of Louisiana, it seems like a really strong year from a high school perspective. What are some of your takeaways on some of the upper echelon kids across the state?
Yeah, and, I mean, obviously, me working down in Baton Rouge for TigerDetails.com, I deal a lot with the guys that are going to LSU and pay a lot of attention to them. And beyond that, though, it seems like programs around the state, including Louisiana Tech, obviously, are getting some really high-quality players in kind of every direction. Louisiana is well-known to produce as much talent per capita in terms of football players as any state. And I get really excited, honestly, when these guys do stay home, whether it be in LSU or Louisiana Tech, Tulane, UL, ULM, and just kind of continue to represent the state. And it seems like a lot of the programs around the state have done a better and better job in recent years of identifying those guys and making the most of that talent pool that is here.
And, when you look at Louisiana Tech's recruiting class, one of the first kids I want to talk about is Kyle Maxwell, a Mead High School coming off a state championship. A big 6'2", 6'3", receiver. Seems like he's really put his name out there on the map in recent weeks, especially playing so well in the playoffs. What will Louisiana Tech be getting in Maxwell come December when he signs?
Yeah, he's a really nice combination of speed and size. You mentioned kind of pushing 6'3" now, runs about a 4.6, and he's pretty solid. He's up around 180 or so, and that talented a meat team. So much attention goes to Ishmael Sopcich and Devontae Lee, or even the quarterback Amani Gilmore, who's committed to Kentucky, that I think Kyle has kind of gotten a little bit more overlooked at times from a recruiting standpoint, just because it is such a talented team. But he's a guy that could be the guy on most high school teams around the state, and you've seen him come up with big plays, including getting into the end zone a couple times in New Orleans this past weekend to help the Warriors clinch that state championship. And he's a guy that I think is going to find a way to get involved for the Bulldogs probably pretty early in his career, particularly a lot of the guys in Louisiana this year that are committed to Louisiana Tech at the moment are guys that have kind of played a lot of different roles for their high schools. And as they are able to kind of focus on one role or limit down to at least one side of the ball and then get into that college weight program, I think they're going to take big strides quickly. Kyle's, I think, a really great example of that.
And, you know, you talk about Kyle being a little bit overlooked at a Meade High School. And the next guy I want to talk about is Deshaun Hall. 6'2", 250 pounds. You know, when he committed to Louisiana Tech, you know, way back in the summer, he didn't seem like the most intriguing prospect. But really, as of late, you know, I know he took a visit to Colorado State. Wisconsin offers last week. I know TCU offered him yesterday. Things really seem to be ticking upward for him late in the process.
Yeah, he had a great fall, and the East Ascension team that he was playing for had a really nice season, and I think surprised a lot of people up there among the top teams in 5A throughout the fall. And when you talk to opposing coaches about what gave them trouble, a lot of that started with Deshaun Hall and that defensive front for the Spartans. And he is he's so big, but so quick for his size and versatile. And kind of to what we were saying about Kyle, I'm interested to see how he transitions into just playing on a defensive line. Cause I know he's a guy that played a little bit on offense in his high school career, but also where he fits as he continues to mature physically, because he's a guy that's been able to play inside and outside, and he can take advantage of his strength on the outside, but he's also quicker than most of the guys that he might be going against on the inside. And so I'm interested to see how things translate for him at the college level, because he has certainly had a nice high school career and come on particularly strong down the stretch.
And, you know, you stay on the defensive side of the ball. You look at a guy like Christian Archangel, 6'1", 185 pounds. I know he played at Como High School. We had the chance to see Como when they traveled up here to play Ruston for the first round of the playoffs. And I think Tech has him penciled in to play cornerback at the collegiate level, a bigger type corner that really seems to be the trend, you know, not only across college football, but across the professional ranks as well. What will he bring to the table that will make Bulldog fans excited to see?
Yeah, exactly that. He is a guy that figures to be a cornerback in Ruston, and he is one of the bigger corners, and also good speed to him too, at about a 4.5, as far as high school corners coming out of Louisiana. And I know that the Bulldogs defensive coaches are certainly excited to get him up there. And I know he also is extremely excited to be in Ruston. He talked about going on his visit up there a couple weekends ago and how he really didn't want to leave. He felt so good about everything going on there, the relationship with the coaches and just the vibe around the program, and said he and Kyrie Morrison and a couple of the other players were just so excited to be a part of that. And get out there and work with Coach Burris and learn from him, a guy obviously that has some NFL background. And so I think his combination, again, of speed and size, his excitement to be a part of that program. And then one thing I've always been really impressed with Christian is he is just pretty relentless. He never really gives up on a play, regardless of if it's his direction or elsewhere. He's just constantly in motion and chasing, and I think those will be some things that fans up there will be excited about, having him a part of this program.
And Louisiana Tech has certainly become accustomed to the West Feliciana pipeline. You know, you talk about Jalen Ferguson, Smoke Harris signs a season ago along with Derek Turner, and they'll add to that in this class when you mention Kyrie Morrison. I've had many people tell me that he could easily play receiver. I know the Bulldogs have tabbed him as a safety. I got the opportunity to see him work out in Tech's camp earlier this summer, and he is just a phenomenal athlete, a guy that I really think will fit right in on Blake Baker's defense.
Yeah, he's a guy that I agree. I think could probably play on either side of the ball, but I do think probably the best class for him is defense, which is where it sounds like he will play in Ruston. He's been all over the field for the Saints of West Feliciana. He's a long guy, about 6'2" now, about 200. I mean, he's wiry and strong, and has played all over. And I think as he gets a chance to get to Ruston, focus on a role as a safety in that Bulldog secondary, it's going to be impressive to see the potential there. I think the versatile guys that Louisiana Tech has identified and bringing to the program from Louisiana, there's just so much upside to a lot of them. And Kyrie, you know, one of the chief among them, because they've been great high school players, but I really think they have the potential to take much bigger strides than some people may even realize at the college level. And you mentioned that pipeline building with West Feliciana. I think a lot of these guys really fit from they feel at home in Ruston because of their backgrounds. I know Jay, when he was going up there, and some of these other Westfield guys talk about just how at home they feel in Ruston because it reminds them of home. And so you see guys like Kyrie Morrison who have teams like TCU and some other pretty notable programs chasing them, just kind of lock in with the Bulldogs and say that's where they want to be.
And, you know, the last player that we'll ask you about, and, you know, a lot of times when you talk about a kicker or a punter, that they're sometimes overlooked, especially in the recruiting process. But Tech fans are certainly familiar with how good of a kicker Jonathan Barnes was, the program's all-time leading kicker. I know Coach Holtz and his staff identified Jacob early on in the recruiting process and pinpointed him as the next kicker and maybe punter as well for this program.
Yep, Baby Barnes coming out of Woodlawn and Baton Rouge, a guy that he's probably going to have a chance to compete for an opportunity to be the punter right off the bat with you know, with a senior punter there for Louisiana Tech this year. And he's a guy that's done both at such a high level for the Panthers at Woodlawn High. I was always really intrigued to watch him, not only in some big moments in games, but to just watch him warming up and being able to boom, even from midway through his high school career, boom punts and field goals from pushing 60 yards and punts with great hang time, but still pushing 60 yards. And again, another guy that's really excited to be a part of that program. Great young guy. Some Louisiana Tech fans may be aware of the decision he made this year to help raise money for a charity supporting cancer research and awareness with some of his kicking. And so another really high character guy who's excited to be a part of that program and has a lot of potential to bring to it.
Absolutely, Jarrett. Well, certainly appreciate you coming on with us and breaking down all of Louisiana Tech's South Louisiana recruits. How can our listeners follow you online?
Yeah, you can always follow me on Twitter, just JerittRoser, and follow all of my Jimmy Smith and Sam Spiegelman's work on TigerDetails.com.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you, man.
Jarrett Roser, one of the best in the business. Been a part of the Sports Talk 97.7 family for quite some time. We love having him on. Certainly one of our more knowledgeable guests. He's a great follow on Twitter, like you said, at Jarrett Roser. He covers these kids he's really, really good. You know, every Friday night he's out at a high school game. He's friends with most of these kids, and they're certainly willing to share their story with him as well. So thanks to him for joining us tonight. And just looking at the rest of Conference USA's recruiting rankings, North Texas is at the top of the league. You look at 22 total commitments for Seth Luttrell, 10 3-stars. Tech, 13 commitments, 6 3-stars in the number 2 spot. You got UTSA in the number 3 spot with 14 commitments with 4 3-stars, which for Frank Wilson after a 3-9 year to have the third-ranked class is pretty important, but you know, Taves, you'll probably agree with me, if he doesn't get a quarterback in there, his time's not going to last much longer in San Antonio.
I think he needs more than a quarterback, buddy.
Well, you're probably right. But, hey.
I start to wonder if he's just a
position coach.
Excellent position and coach recruiter. And recruiter.
Yeah.
And some guys just aren't cut out for the management.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And you're right. And, you know, I know he got him to bowl eligible a season ago, but a big step back this year. I saw that a quarterback or two transferred out of the program this week. So, certainly some hard times in San Antonio. Looking at the rest of the conference, Southern Miss, fourth-ranked recruiting class, Western Kentucky, fifth. Tyson Helton certainly holding that class together. Only 1 3-star in that class. Middle Tennessee with the sixth-ranked class, Rice, seventh. Marshall, eighth. Lane Kiffin with only 5 commits with the ninth-ranked class in the league. I would certainly expect that to rise the closer we get to signing day. Florida International with 8 commits in the 10th spot. UTEP, 11th. Old Dominion in the 12th spot. And Charlotte rounding out things, number 13. So if you look at it from a pure star perspective, Tech average stars 2.46, which would be number one in Conference USA play. So while the play on the field certainly wasn't what many of us expected to see this year, especially when you talk about the final two losses in the final two regular season games, Coach Holtz and his staff, one thing they continue to do is bring in some of the best talent in Conference USA play year in and year out. We're going to go ahead and take our last timeout of the night. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Get more fun out of everything you do with a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. For years, Fairway Carts has been this area's choice for EasyGo gas or electric golf carts, multi-passenger carts, rugged utility carts for work, and EasyGos for hunting too. With a full line of accessories and expert service department, Fairway Carts delivers it all. Come by the showroom on Highway 531 in Minden, just north of I-20, or call 800-960-CART.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Got stuff you need to store or haul or keep covered? You need ideal portable buildings, carports, and trailer sales. Whatever size building you need, they'll build it right on your lot. They've got utility trailers to haul what you got from 8 to 16 feet, and you can protect it all with a new carport from Ideal, the number one Eagle carport dealer in the state. Store it, haul it, cover it. Ideal Portable Buildings, Carports, and Trailer Sales. 699-9426 or find them on Facebook.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Final segment of the night. Quick update, Dunkin' Dogs lead Mississippi Valley State 39-34 at the half. Oliver Powell leads all scorers, 12 points, 4 rebounds. Jacoby Pemberton making his second start of the year in place of Derek Jean. 8 points, 8 rebounds for the young sophomore, Day-Day Bracey, 7 points, 3 assists. So Dunkin' Dogs looking to take control against Mississippi Valley State in the second half. So just to answer a few questions, had a question on the Bleed Tech Blue message board today. Who are some 2018 signees, walk-ons, et cetera, that redshirted this year who are showing out on the scout team and will look to be contributors in 2019? You know, three players stick out to me in particular. And I think you could add a fourth to this list as well. I think, you know, when you look at safety, B.J. Williamson, a guy that when Tech made the decision to redshirt Jaden Cole, you know, the sophomore, the 2017 signee from Neville, they made that decision after the fourth game of the year. B.J. got some playing time. Certainly, you know, he's a little green, but he's going to be a really good player for the Bulldogs at safety. I would expect him to be a pretty solid contributor a season from now. Smoke Harris, we all know about Smoke Harris. We've talked about him. Small slot receiver. He's going to be dynamic with the ball in his hands. Just, I think, you know, his big issue this year is he had it took some adjustments for him to adjust to the speed of the college game. And then Wayne Toussaint, receiver out of Plaquemine. We saw his speed, I believe it was in the UTEP game, where he caught a couple of deep balls. He can really run. I think he's going to be one of Tech's better receivers, you know, if not next year. You know, next year's group is expected to be veteran laden, but later on in his career for sure. And then my final guy is Derek Turner, another one of those West Feliciana guys that, you know, had Power 5 schools all over him late in the process. Tech was able to win over his services, and I've heard that he's really began to blossom, especially late in the season. And then one more question, who is one player that didn't necessarily flash a ton in the season but will show up big in Hawaii? I'll give you two names. I'm going to go with Willie Baker, and that's not because I don't think Jalen Ferguson's going to play, but I think it's time. You know, Willie Baker has flashed at times this year from his defensive end spot, but I think with Hawaii wanting to throw the ball 40 or 50 times, he's going to have a big night. You know, let's say, I'm gonna call it right now, Willie Baker gets two sacks against the Warriors. And then not going for one player in particular at running back, but I think Tech is going to run the ball downhill at Hawaii. They give up about 230 yards per game on the ground. And I think that, you know, it'll allow Tech to slow down some of that, you know, fast-paced offense that Hawaii.
Come on, Ben, make the call here. Both of them go for 100.
I'm going to say Dancy goes for 115. I'm going to say Tucker goes for 75, and McKnight goes for 50. It's going to be a huge night on the ground.
If the running game does that, they win the ball game.
I think Tech is going to run it right at them. And I don't think that Hawaii is going to be able to stop it. They're really small on the defensive line. You and I both know what Hawaii is defensively. They don't play a whole lot of defense. They don't have big, fast linebackers. They don't have big, athletic D linemen. I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but they're on the team because there's no one else to recruit, you know? And so I think Tech has a big day on the ground. But we're going to really get into things with Tech and Hawaii next week. Like I said, hope to have Steven Tsai on, Hawaii beat writer from the Star Advertiser. Also, next week, early signing period, December 19th. You can join us at bleedtechblue.com for all the latest rumblings. Like I said, Tech hosted 8 recruits this past weekend. I think I've caught up with 6 of those guys. Anton Lewis, junior college offensive line, committed. Another Power 5 commitment, a Utah commit. Spoke to him just before we came on the air. Really impressed with Tech. He's also looking at Florida State. He'll be choosing between Tech, Florida State, and Utah. Hopefully, Tech can get him in the early signing period.
If I could pluck that one,
it'd be huge. Louisiana native, junior college player. I think he's really wanting to sign late, but
it's like on the old NCAA game where when you're out recruiting, you play the local angle.
Yep, that's right.
Mama can come see you.
Yep, that's exactly right. So join us, Bleed Tech Blue, for all the latest on that. If you don't want to join for $9.95 a month, you can join us for an annual subscription. Use the promo code Cyber, CYBER 99, and you can get $99 worth of free Tech gear as well. So, as always, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire and Service, Scott Seafood, Ideal Portable Buildings, Brister Smokehouse Barbecue, and our good friends at O'Neill Gas. We couldn't do it without our title sponsor as well, First National Bank. Great show tonight. Hopefully Beck's back next week. For John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. We'll see you.
Listen for the First National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on Sports Talk 977 with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Rustin and El Dorado, Walpole Tire, Fairway Carts, O'Neill Gas, and Brister Smokehouse. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 977.
Well, I think the only thing I could say, which I could agree a little bit with success, is when they were able to start the super teams.
So you like that? You like the super teams?
I hate the super team, Paul.
I know, I don't like the super teams.
Okay. You're just saying it started a trend.
Started a trend. And if you want to say if it was a success for the NBA because it helped start the super team.
Yeah. Let me give a little clarity on the super teams.
And appreciate
that,
Paul.
I think you will agree with this, Rob. There were super teams before the Miami Heat. There's no doubt. I mean, the Bird Celtics, the Showtime Lakers, heck, the Philadelphia 76ers with Moses Malone, Dr. J, Andrew Tony, Mo Cheeks, all those guys. There were super teams that we can go to the big three in Boston, Garnett, Pierce, and Ray Allen. What LeBron started with Wade and Bosh was the player-generated super teams.
It's
Would you agree
that.
With that?
No.
Really?
No, because in those other ones, there were trades made.
But
so
that's
they
my
gave
point.
Up, but they
but
gave
they
up
became
players.
Super teams.
No, I get
they
that.
They had a cast of Hall of Famers.
But that's
this
not.
This was a super. I think that's the total
it's
difference.
Not. To me, the difference is.
It wasn't like this team had more talent than any of those
but when
teams
you,
in
when
the
you,
past.
There were three guys, star players, who altered the
that
Eastern.
That wasn't the first time you had that.
No, but even in Boston, when you talk about that team, how'd they get Ray Allen?
Trade.
How did they get?
No, I get it, but that's my point. Those were generated by the ownership and management.
No, I get what you're saying.
This
but the
was player generated. But that's the only difference.
No, but the difference is Miami didn't give up anything to get those guys. I'm telling.
What? So what?
That makes a difference.
Those teams. Okay. What did bought when the Showtime Lakers? They drafted. They had Kareem.
No, I understand.
They drafted Magic.
I understand.
They drafted Worthy. So that was. They didn't give up anybody.
Yeah, but those were draft picks. And
that's what I'm saying. Those were put together by management and ownership.
What LeBron did. Nobody, no player of his stature had ever left at his age, and then join up with two other stars who were in his same draft.
But
it's unheard of.
Would you have felt differently if? It just happened organically.
Yes.
All right, but that's
yes.
the difference. And I'm surprised you're saying that.
No, it's different.
Because LeBron James took power. As a player, he said, I'm going to wield the power. If Dan Gilbert, the owner,
it's bad for
or the GM can put together a team, why can't I?
No, but the problem with that is, and this here's the issue, and what people don't understand. If that's the case where players should just be able to go wherever they want, you wouldn't have a draft. You wouldn't have any of that. The reason
no,
is
they did it within the rules. You
no,
still have a draft.
I understand
you still
that, but
have
the reason
agency?
There's a draft is what's the reason for the draft then?
That had nothing to do
no,
with the draft.
But I'm asking you, why have a draft if you could just put players?
No, but what?
But
they,
why have
they,
a draft
they,
if it doesn't
they did
matter?
It has nothing to do with the draft.
Chris, you're not listening to what I'm asking.
I get it, but it's not like they can't coexist.
No, but I'm asking you, why have a draft if it doesn't matter?
It does matter.
Okay.
They
That's
drafted Dwayne Wade.
I'm just saying, what LeBron did was he altered the league. He messed it up.
Power, he took power as a player. Now, whether you agree with it or not, but that's what he did.
Mark in Seattle, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Great show, great topic. But let me say, man, Rob, you're all off on this one, man. Disappointing, like Chris said, yeah, because when LeBron did the countdown, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be all point in Miami. And I'm a Spurs fan. I was excited about that. But the thing is, man, you can feel the hate dripping from your from you there. And
dude, I hate. What are you talking about? Mark, can I
can feel.
Hold on, Mark. Let me say something to you because I just want to say this. That term, oh, he's a hater. Is the most ridiculous, overused term for a guy who's an analyst or for people who do sports. I'm sorry. It's called a critique or criticism. That's or an analysis. That's what I do.
Just because you don't agree with it is why you call me a hater. If you like it, then all right, or if I'm Nick Wright and I'm all in on LeBron on everything, then you love Nick Wright. Nick Wright's the greatest analyst I've ever met. He's so great. He knows LeBron up and down, blah, blah, blah. It's so ridiculous. So, Mark, I'm not a hater. I don't know LeBron. I don't have an